It's time now for Awaken Hope with Candy Campbell. Candy is a therapist and grief counselor that works with women to help them process and heal from emotional events that can keep them feeling stuck. Let's take this journey together. And now, here's your host, Candy Campbell.
Welcome back to Awaken Hope. I have a fabulous guest here with me today. I am so super grateful that you are tuning in and listening. So today I have Mark DeBellis, and he has quite the story. He currently he's a happily married husband and the father of two wonderful daughters and a grandfather to three, soon to be four grandchildren. And he's worked super hard his entire life. And life has rewarded him with good health, a nice lifestyle, many friends, and a loving family. But that was not always the case. He has walked in shoes that many would probably say, I will run for the hills. Don't come near him. So I'm going to let Mark get into his story. He's got a lot of stories of overcoming adversity. Mm. And yeah, you may think that's a nasty A word. But adversity, as they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And sometimes some of us, you know, we walk in shoes and we get pounded and knocked around and you're looking at life going, why? I don't understand why this is happening. But we may never understand in this lifetime, but we'll learn later on. So welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome, and thank you for that nice introduction. I'm really fortunate to be able to share this with you and those that are listening, and I'm fortunate to have led the life I've led. Very frankly, I've been very blessed, and I'm grateful for that. But to your point, it wasn't always easy, and I now realize that adversity is a gift that nobody wants, are miserable when they're in the midst of it, mm-hmm. want to get out of it as quickly as possible, and then finally may realize the benefits of it at some point well beyond the time you were going through it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my story, truthfully. I didn't really want to accept the adversity that I lived and worked through early on in my life until I was much older. I just frankly ignored it and often denied it. Mm. And that was sort of my coping mechanism for that part of my life. But it was really a very chaotic childhood that I went through. And it really culminated in terms of adversity level, if you can say that, when I was in junior high, just finishing junior high, and my parents were divorced, they just were getting divorced. And my mother, God love her, was the most loving, kind woman. Huge. Faith was a huge part of her life. She actually was planning to be a Catholic nun. So she was in the convent for a number of years. I tell my friends my mom was a Catholic nun, but she didn't have a child when she was in the convent. So let's get that straight. She decided she wanted to have a family and left the convent. But her faith was always a very big part of her life, and her belief in mankind and fellow human beings was beyond, you know, anything that the average person had, I think. But we had a very very challenging childhood, and my parents ultimately got divorced, and my mother at the time at that year of my eighth grade or so, she had a terrible nervous breakdown and was committed to state hospital, and she had schizophrenia. She was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. And so she had a period at the hospital, and we as kids, you know, were trying to figure out what that meant. We really didn't know. And but she got out of the hospital and the marriage was over for all intents and purposes. It was really rocky for the most part, but we at that point, the divorce was final, and we went in custody with our mother. So our mother, you know, who we all loved deeply, got charge of us. But she wasn't really ready for that, to say it simply. It was a lot of responsibility to do that alone. And so we went through a couple of very chaotic years of trying to find her footing. And some adventures that are priceless in terms of experiences, but tragic in another way, in that we, you know, we didn't have a traditional sort of little upbringing at that time. So, but that's where I found, you know, as I looked back and went through those things, I found so much that I learned by being tested in these different circumstances. And again, I think I was in denial for most of my life that I even experienced that, but I finally realized that so much of the internal strength that I gained at a very young age was because of these different unique experiences that we lived through.
Yeah, no, you, everything you went through made you to be who you are today. And you know, as much as we also oftentimes want to say, oh, well, who I am today is who I am, but it's looking back into all those little things that led up to us. You know, I was talking to a guest at one earlier, and we're talking about the experiences that we, the shoes we walk in, the experiences, the decisions, the choices we make them with the information we have, the consciousness that we have at this time. Were they, you know, some decisions were good, some not so good. Some you look at, you know, you look back and go, well, that was a, there's shame attached to it. There's guilt attached to it. You name it. And every decision, I firmly believe every decision and every experience we went through, even some of the worst ones you look at and go, how I survived something like this created us to be who we are. I mean, I'm always constantly reminded of that. I mean, I read through your story. Tell us about your program, about adversity and what it is, and, oh, a gift of adversity project. Tell us about that and what that means. I understand having read through it, but for the people that are new to this, where it was born out of and what it means to you.
Well, I realized when I started unpacking my life and seeing where those difficulties that I faced at a young age really honed me, tempered me for future things. And because of that, I really believe that doors were open for me, not because of what happened to me, what I experienced, but because of who I was after it happened. And that's an important distinction. I think we can lean on what happened, but not how it's changed us and what we've become because of it. And so that's what I'm really trying to showcase in this project, is to, is for people to share their experiences and to show how they've come through them. I think in, you know, when we're in the midst of adverse circumstances, we have a tendency to believe that's, it's the end of everything. We, you know, we have this terrible negative perception of our circumstance. We can't see, you know, really at that point off of where we're going. So, but it's really during those times where we learn things and we gained command of it, even our, just our own ability to weather storms, that we makes us stronger. It inevitably makes us stronger. And so, again, through that epiphany of sorts for myself, once I slowed down enough, I think, to begin thinking about this, I realized that there were so many times in my life that these very unique circumstances I was put into had actually prepared me for so much and opened doors that I didn't expect them to open. You know, when you're 16 years old and your family's breaking up and you're the oldest in the family of four, and we're off on this journey of uncertainty with, you know, our mom who's got custody and she's doing her best, and but she has no practical worldly experience, truthfully, you know, coming out of the convent and really being surrounded by faith and love and all of those wonderful things. I had to step into roles that, you know, the typical kid would not have to, and I'd make decisions and make, you know, excuses and explain circumstances and fix things that were broken and, you know, and play a role that was really a way above my pay grade, as you might say. But, and then as I got through that and our family evolved through that, you know, we all survived. And I got into young adulthood, 18, 19, 20, and moved out on my own and all of those things. I was an old soul of sorts. You know, I just had, I knew how to do stuff, if that makes sense. Yeah. And so I think as an employee and a student in college and making my way through the world, I just had things figured out. So that's where some of the blessings came from that I didn't expect. I think we all probably complain while we're in the midst of the adversity, but in looking back again, those are things that really matured me quicker and faster. And that paid benefits as I make my way through the corporate world. I was more mature than the average, you know, 22-year-old, 23-year-old. I had a better sense of what it took to be productive and successful in life because of what I lived through. And that in and of itself was a catalyst for future opportunities. So it was that, again, that tempering experience for me at that age, and it really helped open doors. I think I was just perceived to be a little more mature than the average person. I didn't know that necessarily. I just was operating in the, you know, the only way I knew how.
And sometimes when you're forced to kind of step into roles that aren't yours or grow up quicker,
or
become someone that someone else should be stepping in wearing those shoes and, you know, doing that role, it does make you see things from a different lens and a different perspective. And you do become kind of an old soul because you're used to doing things that your typical 16-year-old would probably go, what's that? You know, I mean, you know, when you're 16... Well, we all know when you're 16, you're thinking about getting your driver's license and not thinking necessarily of, oh, I've got to step into, I got to fix this, or I've got to explain this, or I've got to solve this, because that was the role you were kind of thrusted into due to the circumstances.
Right.
But again, looking back, yeah, it did grow you in ways probably that you may have not preferred to grow.
Well, there were certainly times when you're in a circumstance, and there were times, truthfully, that we were, there was a lot more month left at the end of the money, as they say, and we were doing our best to find a way to, you know, fill our stomachs. So we made bad decisions. We made choices that were not, you know, sound choices. And desperation encourages you to do that. And in hindsight, yes, it's easy to go back and say, gee, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, and might have there been another way. But you do have to, you know, deal with whatever your reality is at the time and learn from it. So those were interesting experiences that we were fortunate to go through in a way and learn from them. So we learn, you know, one thing I learned, in going through adversity, one lives with the fight or flight response a lot. You experience that, and you have to come to terms with that, because once you feel that instinct, it's easy for it to rear its head on a regular basis. And I think you eventually, hopefully, will grow out of that. But those are little things that come out of those adverse circumstances you have to learn to tame, so that you don't go through life looking over your shoulder and expecting the shoe to drop, the next shoe to drop at some point, you know, because that's no fun. It's no way to live a life. But it does take a while for you to build that confidence up and to realize that, generally speaking, life is, it's a good place. We're in a very wonderful place relative to history.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, we take for granted a lot. But, you know, my project, going back to why I'm doing it, what's the point of it is, I really want people to be able to share their stories of their own adversity and the lessons that they learned coming from it, mainly to empower the next generation. Mm-hmm. You know, every generation has successively decreased the amount of adversity we live in. You think about 100 years ago, go back as far as you want. Every generation does a better job of removing, you know, some of the difficulties for the future generation. We plow. And as we see our future generations coming up, they have lost perspective of certain things that, you know, they don't get to experience that maybe we did. Now, I wouldn't encourage anybody to want to go through that period of my life that I went through, but just going through adversity in any shape or form is a tempering process, whether it's on the sports team, whether it's on, you know, some overcoming some challenges with learning, and whatever those may be, those are the things that build your, you know, your confidence and your courage and resiliency. And if you take those away, when adversity strikes you, I believe in a later age, you crumble. You haven't built the infrastructure up to deal with that. And so that is really my mantra these days, is how do I encourage and motivate, inspire the younger generation to embrace adversity, embrace challenges. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to have a negative challenge, but I want them to embrace a challenge. It may become an adversity, but pushing through it and growing your skills and your capacity for that will only make you better and stronger as you mature.
Ah, and a perfect segue for a break. But when we come back, we'll talk about that. Because you're right. When we go through things, and yeah, as a parent, you know, sometimes you don't want to see your kids or grandkids have to go through things. However, you also know when they go through it and they overcome it, they get to the other side, no matter what type of experience they're going through, it does make them stronger. It teaches them that resiliency that, oh, I can over, you know, there might be something minor, but they were able to overcome it, figure out solutions going forward. And then the next event, because as we all know, none of us in this world are immune from life happening. Life throws things at us, and when we're least expecting it. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
There's something you need to know about nursing homes. Neglect and abuse have been happening for decades, but most people don't know it until they're in it. And by then, it's often too late. I know, because it happened to my mom. Change is urgently needed because decades of traditional advocacy hasn't been enough to break a system that resists accountability. So we're doing something different. On September 27th, the ROAR movement is launching the first ever national walk for long-term care reform. Reform requires public pressure. It requires visibility, and visibility requires presence. We already have walk leaders in states across the country, and we're looking for a few more people to step forward and lead. Not because you have all the answers, but because you care enough to begin. This is your chance to make a real difference by thinking nationally and working locally, because the power of the people has always been greater than the people in power.
Welcome back. Again, I have Mark DeBellis here, and we've been talking about his project, Gifts of Adversity Project. And before we went to break, he was talking about how this project is to help, it gives people a chance to share their adversity and learn from it. Because we were talking about over the break, if you don't learn, whether it's adversity or history or things that are occurring in the world, if you don't learn from the mistakes, as they say, you are doomed to repeat it. So I think I really do agree with your project. I think it's important because there are, yes, I'm going to say this, there are a generation of individuals that don't necessarily know some of the critical facts of events that have occurred in our world. Yeah. And those critical facts impacted us as a country, impacted us as a world. And it's important that we learn from it. That's, I mean, it's important to do that, but it's also important to learn from events within our lives, because if we don't, I'm pretty sure that they come back around till we finally get the clue and go, ah, aha, I get it.
Well, there's, you know, a great meme about don't let a good crisis go without learning something. So, you know, we've got to look at life as a combination of both good things and the not so good things. In fact, I love this story. I tell it to as many people as I can. But we think of life as ups and downs. You know, it's just how how we've kind of approached it. How are you doing? I'm up, I'm down. You know, there's this roller coaster type of analogy we use when we think about how we're doing and, you know, how life is treating us. Mm-hmm. But that's really the wrong way to look at it. Yes, we may have an up day or a down day, but really life is more like a set of railroad tracks than a roller coaster. And those railroad tracks envision one being a good track and one being a not so good track, a sad track, a bad track, whatever. So some days we might be having a really good day, uh-huh. and the sad things still may be happening in our life. But if we shift our thinking to the sad things, the bad things, the negative things, we forget all the good things that are happening at the exact same time. So you can't, you know, you don't want to let your life focus too much on those things that are letting you down, because you'll miss all the good things that are happening at the exact same time, because they don't wait for you to start feeling better. Right? It's not how life works. It's like, stay focused and objective. Yes, bad things happen. You can't expect it to be feeling good about everything. One thing about life is that we have a tendency to try to make it kind of binary. You know, it's all or nothing. And we look at life as we would a roller coaster. How are you doing? I'm doing great. How are you doing? Not so good. And it's easy for us to think of life as good and bad, or, you know, I'm in a good period, I'm in a bad period. But life really should be looked at more as not a roller coaster, but a railroad track, with one track, all the good things, and the other track being the negative things. And instead of focusing on just whatever is getting your attention for that period of time, remember that when you're in the negative zone, for whatever reason, there's still a lot of good things to look at. Life with a glass half full mindset, and that there's always more opportunity, and the next corner is going to give us something that we didn't expect, and faith is powerful and can help you through those times. But that railroad track analogy was shared, frankly, by a famous pastor, Pastor Rick Warren, and he might have even written about that in his book, Purpose Driven Life. It's a wonderful way to just, you know, get a focus on how to manage the good and the bad. So,
and we need both. We can't have one without the other. It doesn't work. And I think I agree with you. A lot of what we've learned in this world, I mean, when we're going through something, we think, you know, especially if it's hard. I mean, everybody has hard. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be moving along, walking your path, you know, living your life, and all of a sudden you get hit. Life hands you something that you're like, whoa, where did that come from?
Right.
You know, some of us have experiences much younger, and we're fashioned to see them earlier in life. But if you don't, when you get hit with life, especially if you're not used to it, you sometimes it can knock you off course.
Right. You know, that's the most enjoyable part of this project, has been talking to people who've had experiences like you just described, but got through them and found something to be thankful for in the midst of all of those, all of that sadness or disappointment, even the extremes. You know, we have a tendency to think, well, how could I ever find anything good about this? And I know you share your journey and realize that you may not even be here talking the way you are and sharing all of these stories and thoughts with, you know, thousands of people through your podcast, were it not for your own adverse life event. So again, we often don't see what it is, but with perspective, we can look back and say, boy, had it not been for this or that, I would not be here or there. And, you know, with this project, I have people who have come to me, and I've, you know, gotten referrals to talk to people who have a wonderful story, and they're so diverse, and so some are very complex and some are less so. But the wonderful stories behind these things are the ultimately they have taken control of the outcome, you know. Mm-hmm. Victim. And sit with your pain and disappointment and disillusionment, and, you know, whatever label you want to put on it that has put you into that circumstance. You can sit on that, or you can choose not to be a victim and to do something. And I think that's when, if there's a single common thread between getting out of adversity and getting into the other, getting through it, is to know that you can move forward, and that you must, even if you're not entirely sure of how to do it. But Dale, some of these stories are just those types of experiences. And you know, we hear a lot of stories through our media, and you know, of famous people that have gone through difficult things. We hear those stories, and those are inspiring. I'm trying to reach also that next level. You know, the average person who has a story to tell that's worthwhile, that they can pass on to somebody else. They may not be a star person, but they have a story that's worthy of sharing.
I do believe that we all have stories. Every one of us, we've encountered something. If you're still living, ideally not little babies yet. They haven't, you know, they're pretty innocent. However, I know some cases that is not the case, but the majority of us, we've had some type of story. We've lived some type of life. You're right. Our stories create us to help us to be who we are today. Mm-hmm. Although when you're going through that adversity, you're looking at, or at least from my perspective, when I was going through my extreme loss, I was like, I would cry out, you know, I'd be crying out to God going, God, why is this happening to me? Yeah. And not understanding. And it's not to say that you can't fall on your knees and cry out and get mad and get sad and go, don't understand this, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're allowed to do that.
Yes.
However, you don't want to stay there because, like Mark said, that state of victimhood, if you stay a victim, you stay there.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of, sometimes as painful as it is, and we may not always have those answers at that moment that we're going through something. Oftentimes, at least in my life, going through something, I got the answers much later after, yes. You know, I went through all this pain and I'm like, I go through and I'm like, I don't understand. Why are you putting me through this? What's this? You know, but I guess there's something inside of me that just says, keep on going, you know, as much as it hurts at times. And there's times when I've cried out going, I don't want this anymore. Take this from me, you know.
And you are showing an exact example of that railroad track mindset. Mm. That's never going to go away. That circumstance that you went through, it will always be part of you. Mm-hmm. And you're never going to forget it. But you're also going to realize that there's a lot of life here on this other track, a lot of good, your other children, grandchildren, all of those things. And you don't want to miss that. And you don't want to lose sight of that. And it does become a question of how you manage the choices that you make. You know, you can choose to. And there's a time, and you should go through those processes of a natural process to get through. And, you know, the four steps of getting through and finally acknowledging and then coming to terms with it. And then you can move on, but you're not the same, and you're going to be different. And in a weird way, you're going to be better. You're certainly going to be different.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be, you know, richer for some of these experiences. And I have to say, a lot of these stories that I get and talk through, there's some component of that grief and or loss, not always a child, of course, but other things and or coming to terms with certain things. But many great things have been created out of such a terrible loss. Your program came out of that.
We're going to take a small break. We'll be right back.
Imagine crossing two oceans and discovering not just a destination, but a home. That's what I found at Il Tesoro, a family-run farm-to-table retreat at the crossroads of Tuscany, Lazio, and Umbria. Hosts Rita and Massimo welcomed me just like family. I harvested olives, savored fresh-pressed extra virgin olive oil, and took a cooking class in their restaurant kitchen. I'm still making that eggplant recipe back at home. Beyond the food, Rita guided us through Italy's rich history. Intricate flower mosaics crafted by local artists, a wine tasting overlooking the lush green hills of Umbria, and a meal in Civita di Bagnoregio, an ancient village we had to cross a footbridge to get to. Il Tesoro isn't just a place to stay, it's a place to gather, celebrate, and reconnect. Whether you're seeking a peaceful yoga retreat, a dream wedding, or a meaningful family reunion, Il Tesoro makes every moment magical. If you're dreaming of an authentic Italian escape, then you need to follow at IlTesoro_Italy on Instagram. That's ILTESORO_Italy. Come home to Il Tesoro.
Welcome back. Again, Mark and I have been talking about, well, he was talking about his project, Gifts of Adversity Project. And, you know, we all have stories. We do. Every single one of us. And you may be thinking, well, I don't have a story. I've been, you know, maybe your life's been pretty even. And if it's even, that's great. Understand, oftentimes life does not stay that way. It's not linear. Right. As much as we want it to be, it gives us, we do switchbacks, we do ups, we do downs, we do all arounds. And sometimes we get spun up like a top going in a direction that we had no intention of going, you know? It's just the way life is in this earthly body that we live in, you know? And it makes us who we are. Like you said, you know, through my adversity, I've had some amazing things come out of it. Now, going through it, when I was going through it, I couldn't have told you a hill of beans what was going to come out of that. Right. All I knew was, I don't want this. Make it stop.
Make it stop. But the wonderful thing is about adversity is, you know, in your experience, you chose to continue through it. You made a conscious choice to work through it and meet it in whatever way that was. You did it and you got through it and you look back. The interesting thing I've learned about adversity, and I want to interesting thing about adversity is everybody really gets to define what adversity is to them. Like, your capacity to deal with adversity is a reflection of, you know, your life experiences, your age, your intellect, whatever. But everybody has their own definition. And like we were talking earlier about the generational differences and how we define adversity. 100 years ago, adversity might be that you didn't eat for 3 days because you were unsuccessful in your hunting expedition, you know. And now it's you didn't eat for 3 hours because you couldn't find a fast food restaurant open or your car broke down. You know, so we have different issues and we've become accustomed to adversity levels just based on our modern conveniences. So it's hard to compare, you know, historical issues with the current, because I think we react the same way, you know, biologically. But they're very different in terms of their scale and scope. But I was reminded when you were talking about your journey, and in Orange County here locally, there was a young girl named Jessie Reese who passed away from cancer at 12. Oh. And she had a valiant fight, but she had begun to develop a program for her fellow cancer patients in the children's ward, where she would fill up these jars with toys and goodies and pass them out to all the kids. And her parents, you know, were very supportive and helped create this program. It's now a foundation, the Jessie Reese Foundation, and they pass these joy jars out to thousands of kids in cancer centers throughout the country. And so that, again, that misfortune and that sadness was reborn in this initiative that's changed, maybe that changed the lives of many, many people. And it's the ability to not only live through that adversity and come to terms with it, but then also be brave enough to move forward, and maybe in a way that contributes to somebody else's, you know, life. And I think that becomes a common theme in a lot of my stories. So people found a larger purpose to get past their adversity, and so on. So
if you'll quickly share, how can someone find this project? And we'll make sure all that's in the show notes.
Gifts with an S of adversity.com. And that is, I have, you know, the site you can go onto. There's, you know, you have full access to read all the stories. I have a combination of stories with historic, some are modern day, some are, you know, everyday. And then I have what I call musings and more, which are just life tips that sort of fit into that adversity circumstance, and resources as well. One of the things I've tried to do with this site is with the understood this more than just inspiration, which I'm hopefully giving them in the site, that I have other resources that they can tap into, you know, for spiritual resources, mental health, food insecurity, homelessness, and so on. Just want to make sure that I hope to help them get to that next step, whatever that might be, if they're just passing through. So, and they can submit a story. They have something they want to share. Absolutely, they can submit a story.
Oh, I think what you're doing is amazing. It truly is, because I have found, you know, there's comfort when you feel like you can connect with somebody that maybe has a similar story or went through something harder. It puts your, whatever your challenge is, in perspective. It gives you that, oh my, you know, that aha moment. It was like, I'm not alone. Because oftentimes when you, or at least from my perspective, going through what I went through, I felt alone, because what most kids don't go through stuff. And I'm not saying that kids don't go through stuff.
But sure. Right.
I grew up at the ripe age of 3, took on responsibilities that I had no wherewithal to understand or not the knowledge to even process it. And, you know, when you're in that state, I mean, you're constantly bombarded with the same challenges. It starts to make you think, no one else understands what I'm going through. Mm. Not to say that there aren't people that have gone through that. And I mean, talking to people, there are a lot of people, actually. But I think having a space where you can connect with others and you can see, they too experience something similar, and look where they are, you know, and that is comforting, or at least in my perspective is comforting to know I'm not alone.
Your story, and this is that other half of that equation, like we were talking, your story, if it becomes a story that we put on the site, is going to help somebody else who might be going through the exact same thing, somebody else who's wrestling with something. And so you have an opportunity to help somebody else. And by the way, Candy, if somebody is interested in posting their story and they're not comfortable with sharing their identity, that's totally fine. I will be happy to, make it anonymous or at least change the person's identity, because I want to make sure that these stories, there's some really important stories to get out, and not everybody's comfortable with associating their experience with their, you know, current name or their current life. So.
And that makes perfect sense. But yeah. I honestly, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I recommend you have a story, go check out Mark's project, Gifts of Adversity. giftsofadversity.com. Go check it out. Go, you know, read some of the stories. And if you feel brave enough, share your story. Because again, we all have them, you know, and we're not machines. We're human. Yep. We're going to go through things, and not everybody goes through them at the same pace or at the same time. That's all different.
Yeah.
If, you know, like you said, your story can give somebody that encouragement to know, I am not alone. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay what I went through. It's okay what I feel, because you will find that being in close proximity of someone else that's experienced something like you, that you can look at it and go, okay, if they got through this, so can I. I can survive whatever I'm going through. And like you said, what we go through makes us stronger. We are forever changed. You just have to, you have to connect with people, and we're not isolated as much as, you know, we're human. We like people, or at least most of us do. And we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are others out there. And like you said, you can do it anonymous. You don't have to. He is more than willing to do it without your true identity. But I have found it when you share your story, even if you just get it out, there is healing to that, that it's a cathartic release that helps you make sense of whatever you've gone through and begin to let it go.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is cathartic. And, you know, we need to be able to get through these things. We never completely release them, I don't think. But we control them when we manage them and we compartmentalize them. And that's often enough to be able to pay attention to that other track that's running at the same time in your life, all those good things that you can be focusing on and enjoying without being overwhelmed with whatever adversity and negativity you've, you know, experienced.
And the good things oftentimes, like you said, you know, if you focus on all the not so good things, you do miss the good things.
Right.
And we got to have one. You can't have one without the other. And we always know. Again, it took me a little while to figure out that silver lining of my experience. But if I had given up, and I, you know, I did say this one time, if God had answered my prayer like I was asking, we would not be having this conversation. You would not be hearing my voice because I wouldn't
right.
hear you.
Yeah, exactly.
But God is a good God. And sometimes he, you know, he's like, okay, when I heard what sounded like a voice in my head that said, no, you have more things to do in this life. I remember thinking, that's so not fair. Why are you doing this? And I was like, I don't like you. I mean, I was talking to God. I'm like, I don't like you. Why? And I sat with that. I cried through it. And finally I said, okay, after I had my emotional outburst, I was like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how you want me to get through this, but I'm going to keep on going. And it felt like I was going snail's pace to get from one foot in front of the other. But I'm thankful and grateful that I did.
And moving forward is key. No matter how small, it's like training to run a marathon. You have to do it one step at a time, and eventually it'll come together. But if you stop trying, and if you lay around, you know, moping, you will not get to that next step. And that's, whether we like it or not, it's just important to keep moving forward.
That's true. I mean, I like the picture of the marathon. I mean, my stepdaughter, she ran the Marine Corps marathon this past year. And she just kept going. You know, there was a period of time where she was crying, and she was, and her dad was, you know, talking her through it, going, you can do this. You can do it. You know, but she was at that point, like, you know, her mind was doing all these things. And she was like, I don't know if I can do it. And he said, you can. You just got to keep going. You got to keep taking one step in front of the other. And she accomplished it, and she finished.
That's awesome. Candy, can I share one little quick story?
Yes,
I know
of course.
We're probably getting low on time, but I want to share a story of whitewater rafting. And this is on my site, but it's a great example about what you just described. And if anybody's ever gone whitewater rafting, they'll know this, a part of the safety lessons you get when you're in the boat. You first learn how to, of course, paddle the boat, where to sit, how to adjust your weight and everything. What happens if you go overboard? They spend a lot of time on that. When you go overboard, you have to face downstream, and you have to have your feet out in front of you, because when you're in a, you know, a river, there's rocks and limbs of trees and down other things that could be. So you want to have your feet out in front of you, sort of, you know, protecting you, because if you go on their head first, you could be hit. But the most important thing that they told us is that if you go overboard, you must be an act on rescue. That stuck with me. When life knocks you out of the boat, when things get tough, you hit a dead end, whatever happens, you must be a participant in your own rescue. And sometimes we forget that, you know, and we expect someone's going to come to our rescue. And in some cases they will. There are circumstances where people will come to your rescue, but you try to get yourself rescued first, you know, because you have to own it. You have to own your own outcome. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just a wonderful reminder, you know, that we have to work at getting through those difficult times too. We have to put some effort into it so that those in control, if we're in that circumstance, or so those who are trying to rescue can actually accomplish what they're setting out to do.
Wow, I love that story. You have to be your own active participant in your own rescue. Well, Mark, I have enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you will come again. I look forward to having future conversations with you and seeing how this project really flourishes and grows. Because, again, it's a space where people can come together and understand and recognize they're not alone.
Yep.
And even if your story, you feel like your story is not been so nice, I can promise you there's always someone else that's gone through something a lot harder, and it gives you perspective on what you're going through, that yes, you can overcome anything. You know, it's like my son always said, Mom, you always told me if I put my mind to it, I can overcome anything. And I'm like, you can. Absolutely. You just have to believe that, you know.
That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Right. So powerful.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, go check out giftsofadversity.com. Mark DeBellis has a site. It's growing. And, you know, share your story. Put your information out there. If you want to be anonymous, he will make it possible for you to be anonymous. But be that light for someone else that needs to know what they're going through is not the be all end all of them. Just something that they've got to overcome. They've got to take that responsibility for their own outcome. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for being my guest. I am so honored. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode resonates with you. I say, share it, download it. I have over 400 episodes, and each one of my guests brings an amazing amount of wisdom and knowledge and their own personal story to the show. So share it. And if someone is popping into your mind when you're listening, you always hear me say this, there's a reason why they're popping into your mind. They need to. So share it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not alone. Please take that away. You know, from both of our stories, you're not alone. You may feel like you are. You may feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to get from point A to point B. But I promise you, just keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep going, because you are not alone. Many of us have gone through things that, you know, a lot of people would probably go, thank you, but no thank you, I'm running for the hills. You're not alone, no matter what you experience, and you will get through it. That I can promise you. You will get through whatever you're going through, and you'll be stronger for it in the end. Again, thank you, Mark. I am so grateful that you are here.
Thank you so much. All the best to you and to all your listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for making this an amazing show. I am extremely grateful to each and every one of you for tuning in and sharing it. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to Awaken Hope with Candy Campbell. If you find yourself struggling, just know there is help. Please take the first step and contact Candy. To learn more, go to candycampbell.net. If you like our show, please tell your friends and family to listen. Join us again next time for Awaken Hope with Candy Campbell.